You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I was practicing my radio voice there.
My radio voice.
You know, I feel like I need to, let's start this show with a callback to something truly amazing that happened 1 week ago today.
Okay.
Do you remember what was truly amazing?
No.
When we ended the show, it ended exactly 9 o'clock.
Well, exactly.
Like, within 2 seconds difference.
It was scary.
Sam wasn't as impressed as Marty and I, but we know the trials and tribulations of running this board and how hard it can be to get everything out on time.
Exactly. We're looking at the clock. It's like,
it was literally like we were counting down the clock on our favorite sports team about to win the Stanley Cup or the, you know,
8:59:58.
Yeah. It is the little things in life that you have to grab on to.
Yes, clean.
And enjoy.
Yeah.
Because the big things just kick you in the arse.
Do they ever.
So that was quite exciting, and I'm pretty proud of us. So congratulations, Marty.
Yay!
And
I take no credit for it. I wasn't running the board. You were.
We should make up a plaque commemorating it.
There you go.
We'll hang it here in the studio.
There you go.
To be like the one time a show ended on time.
There's plenty of room on the walls at my house right now. You can put it up there.
Yeah.
So, this is where we traditionally say comics.
Yes, comics. We should talk about comics.
Oddly enough, I went into Grey Guardian today, and it's been a few weeks. I had 2 comics.
Yeah, that's weird, because I had 5.
Yeah. Well, I expected the wedding issue. Was the wedding...
no idea. I'm not getting home.
No, well, I mean, I was getting X-Men Gold and Blue, so I figured I'd get a wedding Kitty Pryde.
Wedding comics.
Yeah, I know, but... It is.
Next, you're going to be collecting Katie Keene comics.
Katie Keene.
Patsy Walker.
Okay, I'll start with Cable, and I'll end with a pre-wedding issue. How's that?
Okay.
So I'm still getting Cable.
Yeah.
I like it. The covers are a little wonky to me, but the inside interior artist is different, so that's fine. But it's more the flashbacks, the old characters. Like this one, literally, it says, takes place right after X-Force number 2.
Yeah, because that's what right. They've been doing, right? Yeah. Like, the last one before that was a little 5-issue arc by Ed Brisson.
Yeah, and it was Longshot. Yeah. It's awesome. So this is him trying to train X-Force, and they're too young, and Domino says you're pushing them too hard. And
blah, 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 blah.
But it was a good read, though. Like, I liked seeing the old characters. You know, the flashback down memory lane.
Well, I read New Mutants forever in a day.
Yeah.
And not the very, very early issues, but definitely the Liefeld issues. And then when it transitioned to X-Force, I used to read that as well. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, but nostalgia, I'm sorry. It did not penetrate the anti-Marvel barrier in my pull list when I trimmed up and cleaned up. I finished off that Brisson run, and that was it for Cable for me. Yeah. That was, like I said, more... clean up, tidy up of the pull list.
Yeah. Well, this book has an end date, does it not? Does it already have an end date, or is it still going?
I think so.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
Might as well.
September's the end date for... is it September or October? Is the end date for Gold and Blue.
Yeah. And they haven't announced...
Oh, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be Uncanny X-Men and X-Men, right? Like,
Well,
with the legacy number and teeny tiny little letters in the bottom. And
you know, the fanboy buzz, I don't know if it's an official buzz, but X-Men Gold should be Uncanny. Although I'm sure they'll change up the characters, throw Wolverine back in there.
I don't think so. I think Blue's going to be Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, don't say that. See, in my mind, Blue just disappears. Gold becomes Uncanny, and then Red.
Because back in the day, X-Men Gold was always what was referred to as X-Men.
Well, the team makeup.
The Ghibli X-Men.
Anyways, that's my thought. Even though I'm not reading Red, I can see Red becoming X-Men.
I can see myself picking up Uncanny X-Men 1.
Yeah. But Blue should end with the kids going back in time and move on, people.
Isn't Professor Xavier back now, too?
Apparently Xavier's back. He's got hair. So he can get blasted by Cyclops. The Red Skull can scoop out his brain, and then the X-Men or Uncanny Avengers burn his brain, yet somehow he's back.
Sure, why not?
Sure. It's only comic books.
I was reading on the Bookface forum, some guy is just blasting DC left, right, and center because Steve Trevor's back in the Wonder Woman 1980s movie. And he's like, how is this possible? How the continuity, how is this possible? And I'm like, what rock have you been living under?
Yeah.
They bring back everybody.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy back. Jean Grey's been back so many times, it's crazy. Heck, even in the original Wonder Woman 1980s TV show, was it the 70s or the 80s, the TV show? Anyways.
70s?
Yeah.
It was set in the 70s for sure. The first season on ABC was set during World War II, and then subsequent seasons were set in modern era with Steve Trevor, and they just basically said Steve Trevor is Steve Trevor's son.
Right.
Right? Nick Fury and Nick Fury Jr. So it was Steve Trevor and Steve Trevor Jr. So, okay, the Steve Trevor that died in World War I is grandpa, and the Steve Trevor in the 80s is grandson.
Yeah.
Or... the whole movie's based on magic and gods, and tell me what gods are really good at. Resuscitation and regeneration. Like, I don't know, maybe he spent 3 days in a hole and he came back out, and he's like, oh.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't know why the guy was freaking. It was just, well, I know why he was freaking, because it was the interwebs.
The internet.
Yeah. What else you got to do but freak on the internet?
That's right. So the second book I picked up was Batman.
No, I haven't read this one yet, but go nuts.
All right. Well, we know 48 was awesome. It was an all-out brawl out between Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, but that was like I know it was kind of linked to the wedding because Joker was a little upset about not being the best man or wanted to find out if he was the best man.
Yeah.
But it was really a standalone story that I personally think that issue will go down as one of those classic Batman must-read issues. Really do.
This one takes place 2 seconds after that with Catwoman coming in. Well, I mean, Batman, he gets 5 words at the end of the issue because he's passed out. So it's Catwoman versus Joker. And it literally goes from last issue being all-out brawl-out to this issue being a couple pages of a fight. And then literally, it's talking the whole rest of the issue.
There you go.
But it's still a great issue because of what Selina and Joker are talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, they're talking about the history and Batman and... I don't know, because you haven't read it yet. Did it just come out this week?
Yeah, it was this week. Right. Yeah,
so
it was Wednesday.
I shouldn't spoil it.
Yeah, that's it. I'm good.
Well, all of our readers will be disappointed our listeners will be disappointed.
Our listeners? We have listeners?
But it's very... It really goes to whether the Joker is really insane or is acting insane and knows exactly what he's doing, but...
Now, I got a trick question.
Yeah.
Are we still under the premise that in New 52/Rebirth, there's 3 different Jokers?
I'm not.
Is that still a thing that Geoff Johns was working on, or has that been given up? Or
not seen any reference to it whatsoever.
Yeah. It just seems like 3 or 4 plot threads that Johns introduced in the Rebirth issues, like the very first, the one issues, like Batman Rebirth as opposed to Rebirth Batman, just kind of faded away. Like
that's what happens to when the boss gets promoted out of the building.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But
yeah, so less action, lots of talking, but still a great book.
There you go.
Yeah,
should be good.
Yeah,
I read Man of Steel number 4. That's the only book I read out of the. Are you reading that?
Well, a funny story.
Oh, here we go.
I missed number 1, so yeah. I was hoping to get a copy, which was what, a month ago?
No, it's 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, a month ago.
Yeah, a month ago. Okay.
So I walk in and I look at the shelf. Number 4. It's like, oh man, this is a weekly. Damn it. No, I've missed 1 through 4, so I'm out.
I've got the first 2, but I've only read issue 1 so far.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine there'll be lots of number 1s kicking around somewhere in the GTA somewhere, but I don't know. It's not a priority.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be collected and stuff, and all it is just setting up the status quo. But issue 4 was drawn by Kevin Maguire. And Kevin Maguire, I was such a massive fan of Bwahaha Justice League and right. his artwork and just the facial expressions that he could go. He's easily one of my top 5 favorite comic book artists ever. And I kind of recall something about it, but I didn't really put 2 and 2 together that he was drawing this issue. And I opened up the first page. It's just like not the comic. It's like it's not no characters, right? It's just like an intro thing. Mm-hmm. Then you open up the second page, and there's his Supergirl and his Superman. I'm just like, oh, Kevin, why are you not drawing a book on a regular basis? Come back,
okay,
dude.
Okay. Sorry. So this is a weekly.
It's a weekly thing.
You're switching up artists every issue.
Yeah. So, to keep the schedule, right? It's a different artist each week. The other thing, and this is kind of more news-type thing to touch on, but it kind of goes into this. Everybody knows DC Comics is switching back to $3.99 a comic. No more $2.99 comics. When they first did that, drawing the line at $2.99, they cut the stories from 22 pages to 20 pages. And Marvel has followed suit. Most Marvel stories are 20 pages. And at the time, there was a lot of writers saying, that really kind of messed things up. We kind of actually missed those 2 pages in terms of doing a story.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember which artist, which writer, but he basically said over the course of a year, that's an entire comic book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they're kind of missing it. Now, some of the writers that are like, oh, I'm going to put a big double page splash here and I'm going to put a big double page splash there. They kind of wasted those extra pages, but some writers really used them. These Man of Steel issues are 22 pages. So I'm like, hey, what the heck? Because, I'm mathematical and I kind of... Well, I read an article just the other day that says that this big, huge writer summit that DC had, which is a Marvel-type thing, but now DC's doing it, and which is a good thing. They're being told, okay, from now on, start doing 22-page stories. So now all of the DC comics are going to be 22 pages for $3.99. So, 20 pages at $2.99 twice a month versus 22 pages once a month at $3.99.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. But I remember at one point in time, and I'm trying to remember whether it was Marvel or DC that started it, but they were only down to 17 pages of story content a month. So I think that was in the 90s, late 90s. So,
yeah.
So it should be good. But Man of Steel, excellent miniseries. Really good introduction to Brian Michael Bendis doing his thing on Superman. I was really worried about it because I was really digging the other Superman book. Trying to remember who wrote it. Totally blanking.
Superman, wasn't it Jurgens? No, that was Ernst.
No. Tomasi?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Tomasi writing or drawing? Anyways, really good. And then, of course, they give it to Bendis because he's, Prima Donna coming over, and I was like, they're going to ruin it. But it's good. I'm very optimistic. As each issue of Man of Steel comes out, I'm more and more optimistic that the Superman book is still going to be a good book and still going to be on my pull list. So that's all I read this week
And this is a limited series.
It's a limited series. 5 or 6 issues. I can't remember.
Superman.
Doing exactly what John Byrne's Man of Steel did, kind of introducing the new status quo for Superman. But unlike the John Byrne one, they're not erasing everything that kind of happened before. This is still Clark, Lois, and Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
This is still the Daily Planet. New 52's Blue Jean Superman still happened. Everything in Rebirth still happened. They're just kind of, you know, this is the new status quo going forward. They introduced a few new characters. Maggie Sawyer's in this issue, so you know that the what is it, the Metropolis Special Crimes Unit is MCU. Still there. Yeah. So it's just kind of setting up Bendis's run on the book and the new Krypton Destroyer that you're not a fan of. He's the main villain in the book, and they're kind of introducing what's about that, and you know what happened to Lois and John is a bit of a mystery because they're not in the current continuity. They're not in the, it's one of those flashback things.
Oh yeah,
they're not in the current timeline in the book. They're in the flashback in the book.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, everyone's like, where's Lois? Where's Lois? And everybody's like at the Daily Planet, oh, I'll take Lois's office. No, you'll take Lois's office. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I might pick it up if I find it. I don't know. Dan, what'd you read this week?
Probably not much. What I have been reading lately, maybe not this exact week, is the old Ninja Turtles comics.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Collection of those a few years ago, and I one day just picked it up and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna read these darn things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, like, have you guys read the old ones?
Oh yeah. I don't, like, I know Chris has read massively. Now I bought the hardcover volume one, and I was,
yeah,
I've been threatening to pile into it, but just haven't yet. So
that's, so the hardcover volume one is what I started with.
Yeah, now you're giving me incentive to go and, yeah, get and read it.
It's only like 5 or 6 comics in there. Like, it's not a lot in that volume, but
yeah,
it's amazing how fast the turtles move. Like, because each story, reading this, having been a fan of the turtles in television and movies for 30 years, I'm reading these comics and just picking out the bits that I know were stolen for different movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's good. I love the art style. You know, the art, and that it's like all just black and white.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So I enjoy that.
Yeah. And it's great because you didn't need letters on their belts to know who they were. Right? It was the personalities. I mean, they all look the same.
Yep.
And when they grab their weapons, you know who they are. But still, it's the personalities of each character that you don't need the letters. But obviously, when you have to put it out for kids.
For kids, yeah.
That's
and for marketing. Yeah. Right, like to, well, no, I have to, Mom, I wanted Leonardo, he's blue.
Yeah,
you right. Got me Raphael. Yeah. You know, however, I would say that it makes it more, having them not have like letters on their belts or colored bandanas and stuff does, if you're trying to have a character act different than their character, that makes it pretty hard,
yeah,
to impossible.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're like, if you see somebody who's having a rage, you're going to assume it's Raphael. But yeah, if it's actually Donatello, you'd be like, I'm too confused right now. Who's doing, yeah, what?
Yeah.
So I read, I've been reading that. I picked up a Hellboy omnibus. They've put out a new Hellboy omnibus that's got like the first 2 or 3 story arcs in it. And I have barely dived into that one. But I want to read that because, I've just been, seems like I've been talking about Hellboy with a lot of people recently, and I was just like, you know what? I need to read some of this stuff. So,
I mean, I haven't read a lot of Hellboy, and I should, but the movies are great. Like, so whether they're true,
yeah,
to the comics, I don't know, but they're great movies.
Well, I'd seen the movies years and years ago when they came out, and recently went into Sunrise and picked them up on Blu-ray because I was like, DVDs, that's so early 2000s.
Yeah.
And so I, you know,
just, you gotta go blue.
Just wanted an excuse to rebuy them. Yeah. And I mean, they were cheap. So I bought them. I haven't watched them for probably 10 years. Like,
yeah.
It's less than 10 years because I know the second one didn't come out till like 6 years ago, but yeah, that's a long time still.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of great characters.
But they are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they're good at building a world, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh,
I mean, the second one, when they go into that, the underground world, right?
Yeah, it's just with like, all the, was that, wow, did that have like all the machinery and stuff? Did they have a big fight on a bunch of like clockwork things?
Yeah, that was, yeah, near the end, yeah.
Honestly, now I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Yeah, because the first one was more about
setting up the
being
world.
Being secret and
yeah,
getting spotted and rumors of this creature and, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I've seen the first one multiple times, but I'd be be very surprised if I've seen the SEC one more than once when it came out.
Yeah.
And now there's a new one coming out, right?
There is.
But, like, I haven't heard anything about this.
You know the guy, the big, huge sheriff in Stranger Things?
Yeah.
He is the new Hellboy. It's not Ron Perlman. It's him. I can't remember what his name is.
It's a remake. Like, is it's not like, a sequel. It's a remake.
No
it's
idea.
Start over again. Like,
no idea. Is it?
Sequel. That's what I've heard. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, every time you have a new actor, Batman is the only series that just transitioned actors without rebooting. In the original,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of
The original origins, one, yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's they're basically making a new movie for each generation of moviegoers, right? Yeah. So, whatever. It is what it is. I'm waiting for the inevitable X-Men reboots and stuff coming in.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, if you think about those, that makes a lot of sense considering that, you know, if Disney gets the rights to the X-Men to make them a part of the MCU, they'll want to do it their way.
Yeah.
And not be stuck with storylines that were maybe forced and misshapen.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I can see Kevin Feige rebooting everything once it gets back going.
Yeah.
Speaking of collected editions, I, for Father's Day, got a gift of a book. One of the... brain farting here. Marvel Epic Collections.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars second series from the original Marvel Star Wars 70 series. So I had two copies of it, so I'm like, oh, I don't want two copies. Went to Chapters, exchanged it, got a gift card with $50 on it, and I'm like, well, let's go take a look. And I got so much to read that I don't really need to buy anything else. I got tons to read in the basement. But I just thought I'd take a look. And on the bargain table for $12 is a hardcover from Fantagraphics. Is that what they call them? Fantagraphics, yeah. Reprinting Blazing Combat. And I don't know if anybody remembers Blazing Combat, but it was a comic book, if I recall correctly, 60s, maybe starting in the 50s. But this book is like Archie Goodwin writing, Al Williamson, Joe Orlando, like just these big, big, big names. George Evans, Gray Morrow, John I could never pronounce that. The guy who used to do art for Mad Magazine. Alex Toth, you know, like it's just this book is full of these amazing black and white rendered war comics from back in the day, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful volume. And I couldn't believe it was like in the bargain rack. Like nobody wanted this. Like what the heck? Yeah. So I picked it up, haven't read a lick of it yet, kind of flipped through it a couple of times, and some of the art is just amazing. Just amazing stuff. So that's what I bought.
Nice.
Mig Alley. See? Like, look at this. Look at that. That's how you draw war books. Oh, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, I was addicted to G.I. Combat and the Haunted Tank and Sergeant Rock and all that sort of stuff. Well, not Sergeant Rock as much as... Sergeant Rock, but not Sergeant Fury.
Fury, yeah.
Being a DC guy. So I picked that up to read, and I haven't read a lick of it. Not yet, but it should be good. The most beautiful black and white comic art you have ever seen. The most beautiful printing I've ever seen. This book is what keeps me in comics. Jimmy Palmiotti. So.
Jimmy.
You and Jimmy both agree?
Sorry. Me and Jimmy both agree. So, yeah, that was pretty good. I'd say go out and buy it, but it was the only copy there. So I think you're
well, out, go out to of another luck. City and look at their bargain table.
Yeah, exactly. But it was pretty cool. I was quite impressed. Other than that,
I did read, I also read some digital comics. I read some Chapter House comics digitally.
Oh, man.
Captain Canuck. I read the new. I don't know what season we're on. Season 3?
What, of Captain Canuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, season 3.
2, 3, and 4, I read.
Yeah, I saw... I read 3 and 4. Those are the ones that are drawn by Jason Liu and inked by Emmanuel... Help me out here.
Can't. I'm not going to embarrass myself. Sean Teff? Is that close? Is that...
you should be so embarrassed.
It's fine. It's French.
Colors. Who did the colors?
Donovan. Did he do the colors on both?
Well, I know he did the colors on 4 because I saw his name on that one.
So, again, our buddy Andrew Thomas is doing letters on those issues. And another friend of ours, Donovan Jacek, did colors for one of them for sure. And I think he might have helped out on the other one. But I can't remember.
I don't have data, so I can't check.
Yeah.
But
so that's kind of exciting and fun that they're contributing to the Captain Canuck mythos. And
yeah,
you know, like if I was a comic book artist and somebody said, you know, what's your dream gig, honestly it would be doing a Captain Canuck comic.
As a captain, I actually had a conversation with somebody the other day where they were like, okay, so like this is what you've got. Because I was talking about some projects I'm working on, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like this is what you got. So what's your end goal? And he's like, I want to write Captain Canuck. And they looked at me exactly. And like, you don't want to like write for Marvel or DC. And I was like, well, you know, maybe after I tell some good Captain Canuck stories, but like, Captain Canuck is my goal. That's what I want. That's why I started writing comics.
Well, you always have to have a goal.
So after. You know, after I write Captain Canuck, then maybe. But that would be cool to write Captain Canuck. But, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to be writing Captain Canuck. But, you know.
Now, if Captain Canuck isn't available, I'll do a Batman. I'll do a Batman story.
Yeah, I mean, I'd settle for Batman. Because, yeah. I mean, if Bendis can do it.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of Bendis Batmans, I noticed that you pulled it up on the web. I don't know if you want to go for it.
Well, you go for it while I do this.
Okay, so
I was going to bring it up.
Walmart. Now, a little preamble here. A little while back, DC Comics did a comic book in magazine format called Showcase. A year ago, 2 years ago. And it was basically a reprint of some DC Rebirth issues, repackaged and distributed at Walmart's in the magazine section. Not in Canada, only in Walmart US. Walmart Canada and Walmart US have two separate buyers. Like, they're different purchasers. So you will find stuff at Walmart's in the States that you will not find at Walmart's in Canada. And this magazine was one of them. And I always wanted a copy of it just to see it, you know, support it. The Archie-produced Marvel Digests are at Walmart, which, let me just give you guys a hint, Walmart has 3 magazines for $10 deal. The Digest is $8 and change, so if we buy 3 Digests, we get it for $10, all 3 issues, instead of paying 8-something each. Hint, hint, I need the latest issue. So if you guys need some, let's go to Walmart.
What is the latest issue? Wait, what movie's coming out?
It's a Thanos themed issue.
Oh, that's right.
I think I have the Black Panther themed one, but this is a Thanos one. So DC got into a new arrangement with Walmart that they're going to be producing 100-page giant comics with kind of retro looking trade dress. There's a Superman one, a Justice League one, a Batman one, and a Teen Titans one, and they're going to be issuing 4 every month. July is the sort of experiment month to see how it works, and if it works well, August will have 4 issues, and September will have 4 issues. And $4.99 for 100 pages of story, some reprints from the issues, but there is an original story in each book that's being serialized, and the one 12-part Superman story is by Tom King and a 12-part Batman story by Brian Michael Bendis. So if you actually want to get a Bendis-written Batman, the only way to do it is to go to Walmart USA and buy these magazines.
Can we buy Batman and pretend it was written by somebody else?
Oh, if you want to.
Yes, we can.
Why would you want to, though?
Now,
the whole point of this would just be to buy the Bendis story.
Yeah. Now, some retailers are kind of
Batman story.
Some retailers are kind of freaking out about this. Like, why is it a Walmart exclusive? And well, the answer is because Walmart paid money, and you know,
probably
made a deal and you know, promised to buy X number of issues, and you know, blah blah blah. And why isn't this available in comic shops? And I'd like to say, well, comic shops have plenty of exclusives, like every single comic distributed at Diamond that you can't get at Walmart. Like,
exactly.
you know.
And it's not like you can't find a Walmart.
Exactly. So if you really want these, go get them.
So are they, these are going to be in Canada?
We have not heard officially. Yeah. I have sent many an Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and email blast to Walmart Canada asking them. And I do know somebody who does know somebody in the Walmart purchasing department, and I'm hoping to get a hold of them, but I don't know if that's going to work out because it's like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. So, and some of those friends are Facebook friends, so you know what Facebook friends are like. They're buddies, but they're not, maybe, kind of. They won't lend you a buck, but they'll sell you something for a buck. But anyways, not dissing all my Facebook friends. You guys are great.
Too late.
You guys are great. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, you guys are great. So we'll see. I mean, are these going to get collected later on into softcover volumes? Like 12 issues of a Batman story from Bendis. I can't see that not coming out in trade paperback.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's cool. I mean, is it going to save the comic book industry and bring back the comic numbers to spinner rack sales days? Probably not this initiative on its own, but my sister has two sons and they buy like I buy them the Marvel Digest every time we're at the Walmart and there's one there, you know. If the comics are on the racks, kids might pick it up, and $4.99 for 100 pages is a hell of a lot better than $3.99 for 22 pages when you're trying to introduce somebody to a comic book.
And it's also like, I don't know, I was playing with my tablet, so I might have missed this if you said this, but like it's such a great audience to reach
if they can reach them. Yeah, absolutely.
Like this is, and again, there's another story that I don't know if we wanted to talk about. It doesn't necessarily affect us again, but GameStop is testing out selling some select comic book titles at select GameStops in the States.
Now, I had a trick question for you about this.
Okay.
Right? Because HMV was into comics.
Yes.
But all it did is really dabble in trade paperbacks.
Yes.
Is that what GameStop is doing, or is GameStop actually getting a Diamond account and you're going to be able to pick up Batman 43 there?
Well, I know only what I've seen online.
I don't
have any insider information here.
I don't think can, because Batman 43 came out 6 months ago.
Okay, whatever.
It looks like they would just be carrying like select titles like monthly. It's not going to replace. Yes, you know, like there will Superman, Batman. You know, maybe like
so not Deadpool. Just the trade paperbacks. They're like actually going to carry floppies.
That's what it looked like. That you could get your monthly comics. But again, I don't know anything other than what I've read, and I haven't heard anything.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, if it works, it works. Now,
this is a chance to, like, if this Walmart thing works and they sell some comics, and if GameStop works and they sell some comics, like, this could be what the comic industry needs.
Yeah.
Like, because we've talked about it every show, like, the industry is slowly dying. And this is their chance to reach people who won't go to a comic store, because that's what it is. People who just don't get exposed to the physical comic books and who only know about the comics through movies. So maybe now they'll go in and they'll pick up some stuff. So
let's hope.
I think it's a great chance to expose the product to people who wouldn't otherwise get it. And since you guys are both surfing the web there, I'll go back and add a few corrections and say that I checked, and our friend Donovan did colors on part of issue 3 and all of issue 4.
There you go.
And it was Emmanuel Chantaneuf.
Yes.
There was
Chantaneuf.
There was an N in there that I missed, and I apologize.
Chantaneuf. I wasn't going to try because, you know, being Polish and stuff, I probably would have said Chantanowski. Like, I had no problem with Jacek. You noticed that, right?
Yeah, you noticed that I said Donovan and waited for you to supply the last
name.
There
you go.
Jacek.
And to be honest with you, I don't even know if Donovan pronounces it Slavically or not, or whether he's anglicized the last spelling of the pronunciation of his last name. So, but it's just force of habit, right? But, I was talking to just really briefly on the book face with Kevin Boyd, comic book coordinator for Fan Expo. We were talking about how this is probably, like I said, it's not going to be earth-shattering. And it's not going to save the comic book industry. It's not going to hurt the comic book industry, because hardcore readers that want these, like guys like us, will go to the Walmart and we'll go get these. So it'll be a destination. We'll go buy them. Speculators who think that these are going to be somehow valuable, they're going to go to the Walmarts and buy them. So the same target audience that comic book shops have will go out and hunt down and find these books. But will the younger kids read these? And a few years ago, my one daughter, we go to Chapters all the time, and she buys her little books, and I look, they're from the young adult section or from the kids section, so I figure they're okay. I haven't really looked at them, and that actually caused a problem once when she bought a manga, but you know, that's it's because I'm a bad father. And she would buy her books, and I would buy a trade paperback, and we'd go home, and we'd read and stuff. And one of these days, I just picked up one of these books that she's reading, and I opened up. It's a graphic novel. It's not a book. It's shaped like a book. It's from Scholastic. It's a book size. But it's a graphic novel. It's a comic book. Mm-hmm. Just in a book format. And there's a whole bunch of them, like Babysitter's Club. There's another series that is really popular. I know one of the titles is Smile. I can't remember how to pronounce the young lady's name who writes it, draws it. But these are graphic novels. And the kids, I asked my daughter, she's like, yeah, all of us in school read these. So when people say kids don't read comics, it's like, no, they do. Yeah. But it's, they're buying them at the bookstore, and they're, you know, graphic novel sized, and they're not, you know, the monthly $3.99 for 22 pages.
Well, do you know how hard, like, Amelia is 7, and we've got a comic thing. And it's so hard to find anything she's interested in, because, like, there's just no variety to kids' comics. There's nothing there. There's nothing that interests her. And, you know, we read Scooby-Doo, and then I got her into Teen Titans because of the TV show. And even then, she didn't want to watch Teen Titans Go. I made her watch it until she liked it.
You're going to watch this.
And now we read, like, the graphic novels and stuff, and we're collecting Teen Titans Go. And I'm actually just saw on Facebook today that Jay Torres is going to be writing Teen Titans Go starting in a few issues, and I'm super excited about that because Jay's cool. A great guy.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you know, but there's nothing, like, I don't want, do you remember last year when Sam came in here with a Frozen comic?
Yeah.
And
it was horrible.
And it was the worst thing he ever read. And like, there's you know, that's all I got is just, like, there's no quality kids comics. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. But, like, I feel like I'm writing better kids comics than most of the ones that are out there.
Now, that's the point of my story anyways, is that there is kids comics. But
collected
forms. But they're not in the comic
yes,
shop.
Yes, like I was looking in the comic
yeah,
shop.
Yeah, they're literally in the bookstore. And it's a huge section. Like there's just as many of these graphic novels for kids as there is graphic novels and trade paperbacks for adults. And a wide variety. Like there's action adventure, there's you know, girls' books. Like the fact that there's so many focused on young girls. Like, specifically written for young girls, whereas, you know, Spider-Man, say what you will, Spider-Man's not written for a 13-year-old girl. No. You know, and these is like Babysitter Club. Like, it's like the Judy Blume books, you know, that kind of stuff. It's directly focused and targeted. Now, DC Comics is coming out with their two initiatives. What is it? DC Inc. And what's the other one called? Somebody will text us here in a second or Twitter us here and yell at us that we forgot it.
Nobody likes us.
But those books, I saw a catalog at Grey Guardian showing them off. These are exactly that kind of graphic novel. That target audience, that kind of shape, that kind of art aesthetic, that kind of story. And it's like Mira and there's a Teen Titans issue. And like it just... really focusing on those guys. And Kevin and I kind of agreed. He stated it first, but I definitely 100% agree with him. That is how comics are going to be delivered to this new target audience that's going to be up and coming. You know, 25 years, 30 years from now, when the next generation of 50-year-old comic book readers are doing a radio show on the local university radio station, it's going to be these kids talking about these graphic novels.
It's all like I just had this thought while you're talking, but like basically a graphic novel is like the Netflix
exactly
thing. They're not going to wait a month for an issue.
Exactly.
Like, that's like they don't have any time or patience for that.
You flipping nailed it on the head. We were perfectly happy getting one episode every week of a TV show, and we were happy getting one issue a month. This Netflix binging type generation and stuff like this, and to be honest with you, I mean, that binging has happened to us as older people. Like, we binge the snot out of Defenders and stuff like this. But instead of coming out with a monthly story issue and build up to a trade paperback released every 6 months, they're just going to release an entire trade paperback graphic novel, original graphic novel. Here you go. Here's this amazing Batman story, Court of Owls, all at once. Here you go. Ugh. You know, with not quite as much continuity between each issue. Yeah. And I really think that's where it's going to go. You know, DC's already experimented that with the Earth One graphic novels.
Yeah.
But again, you know, is it being targeted to the right audience? Did they try to sell it through comic shops instead of through bookstores? Was it promoted properly? But it was a step in that direction, just like these Walmart magazines. It's a step in that direction. But honestly, I completely agree. I'm pretty confident that the next big generation of comic book readers are going to be reading these Scholastic-style graphic novels. What's the other company that does it? Not just Scholastic, Joe Books.
Yeah.
Who else does comics like that? And, sure. You know, guys that are doing independent comic books, they'll tell you right now, grabbing one of these Scholastic contracts, boom.
Yeah.
You know, it's boom.
The golden ticket.
It's like back in the day doing, you know, Sam Tweedle keeps saying comic strips are the same as comic books. They flipping are not, because if you were doing a comic book, like Stanley used to say, I worked in comics and I lied about it and I was ashamed about it and I told everybody I was doing something else. Whereas the comic strip guys were superstars in the industry. You know, it's a different, not union, but it's a different aesthetic. The strip guys always looked down on the comic book guys. The comic guys always wanted to be strip guys. You know, the distribution method was different. The money was completely different. Your compensation, like Charles Schulz, you know, made money.
Yeah.
The guy who did Iggy, Ali Oop made money. Calvin Hobbs made money. William Messner Loebs is a janitor and broke on his butt. You know? Like, there is a difference. There is definitely a difference. And I think this is the same thing. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. It's cool. I'll try to find copies of this Walmart magazine, but I'm not going to go to any great lengths. Like,
you know, like going to the United States of America.
Yeah, like I'm not going to spend $12 shipping to get a $5.99 comic book or a $4.99 comic book. Those days are gone.
Yeah,
exactly. eBay, you are getting no more of my global protection shipping, global shipping program money. Like, it's just not happening, you know? Like, even Kickstarter, the one fellow has a really interesting Kickstarter. I really, really want issue one, but it was like $23 after shipping to get issue one. And I'm like, I'll just see you at a convention. I'll pick it up for $5. I really will.
Yeah.
You know, there are there's one comic book that I'm still willing to pay a few extra dollars for to get. And that's Harlan Buck from the U.S. Gosh, I like that comic.
Yeah.
Latest issue just came in, and I have not read it yet, and I'm kind of ashamed about that. But
from Scott Weldon?
Yeah, Scott Weldon. I love that book, and I know, you know, like I paid. Okay,
the next time you're going to order some, I haven't ordered any yet. Well,
there we go.
We'll order together to save some shipping.
There you go. And that's probably the smart thing to do, you know, is to do that. Like,
because, I mean, it's not like it hurts Scott if
no, exactly. I mean, for
the
him,
shipping isn't something, you know.
Yeah, he's not making any money on the shipping. It's not a profit center for him, but getting his book is.
And it's interesting because I follow him on Facebook, and he posts, he seems like a great guy. He's always posting, like, sort of stuff like, just try inspiring people to, you know, not give up on your comic book dreams and, like, post what you're working on and, you know, having cool conversations about comics. And he posted something last week or earlier this week that was like, one of my friends said that he thinks that because my posts get a couple hundred likes that I must sell a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Well, only, you know, 3% of my Facebook friends on here have actually purchased my comics.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But, like, because it's not just fans who like the comic book. Like, it's it's networking and stuff too,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But like also there's people like me who I just haven't bought it because I've been put off by the shipping.
Yeah.
And like put off by like just diving in. And they're all standalone issues, aren't they?
The first two are a continued story. The third one was standalone. I feel like the fourth one's standalone.
So,
but I mean, like, whole, it's a good book. It's I think, anyways, I think it's a really good book. It's easily as good as anything that's coming out of Aftershock right now. You know, this could be an Aftershock title. But I really think it's good. Now, you know, it's not... You know, it's not, God, I hate to say it. It's not Alan Moore classic, blow up the entire universe and be a comic book story that's going to be talked about for 50 years. But it's a good quality book, and it stands up compared to a lot of the other ones. Like, I'd rather read this than three quarters of the stuff Marvel's putting out easily. But in more news... Did you guys see that the Dark Horse lost the Conan property and the Conan's going back to Marvel?
No.
Yeah. So Dark Horse, when they got the Marvel the Conan license, got the rights to republish the Marvel issues from the 70s. And they were doing so in various hardcovers and fancy editions. Now that Marvel's got the rights back, Marvel's like, okay, well, we're going to be releasing four Conan books a month. One might be all original. One might be, you know, something different. The other two might be reprints of the original 70s stuff. Dark Horse just immediately put all of their Conan backstock issues on clearance and stuff like this. So now's a really good time if you want to get some of those old Marvel 70s Conans in hardcover format from Dark Horse, because they're going to go cheap before Marvel starts reprinting them all. And I know for sure that if Marvel comes out with an epic collection of the Savage Sword of Conan or the original Conan book, I'm in. I just loved those books when I was a kid. Like, I read so many Savage Sword of Conans, it's ridiculous. That was the one comic book magazine format that I got a lot of. So, that should be interesting. Brand new Conan books.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that... What other wonderful things? I noticed you were looking at the Chapter House solicitations for September.
Yes and no, but yes. It was just that there's a Die Kitty Die, Heaven and Hell 0, and Heaven and Hell number 1 solicited for this. Now, 0 is a re-release of the Free Comic Book Day issue.
Yeah. Now I'm just going to wait for the hardcover to come out. I know Sam supported the Kickstarter for this and stuff like that, but I'm just going to wait for the hardcover. I love the book. It's hilarious. Die Kitty Die. Such a satirical take on the entire comic book industry. Great comic, but I'm just going to buy the hardcover when it comes out. And yeah. Captain Canuck season 4 number 3.
Issue 3 solicited for September.
Still waiting for physical copies of season 4, season 3, issue 3 and 4.
Yeah, but they're available digitally on Comixology.
They are.
And I've got to say, so I'm working with Donovan and Justin Schaff on a True Patriot thing, the Canadian Sentinel, as we've mentioned once before. Coming out July 18th.
I will definitely be getting those.
And through my discussions, like we were talking about physical, because this is just a digital release to start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me and Donovan are talking back and forth about, like, he's like, well, I don't do anything physical anymore. I'm just a digital guy. And I was like, ugh, no, it's got to be physical. You got to. And he's like, you're such an old man. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I was like, you know what? Actually, I only read the comics that I've downloaded from Comixology. And the stuff I buy from the comic store just goes in a pile.
See, I've tried digital numerous times. When digital first came out, I had, I can't even remember what the three big companies were at the time. Like, my Comixology account is from the get-go. I think one was called Iverse. One was called Comics Plus. I can't remember. One of them's defunct completely, and any book that I purchased through them, I can't download and read anymore. So I've been doing the digital thing for a long time. Like, we're talking iPad 2, a vintage, if not even iPad 1. And I'm still reading some digital books now. Like, you know, I get PDF review copies and stuff and stuff. And I'm reading them on this big, big, huge Samsung S2 with the big 10-inch screen and stuff like this and the high resolution and stuff. It is not the same as reading a physical copy. It just isn't the same. I seem to retain more when I read the physical comic. I absorb the art on both pages as I'm flipping through them before I see, you know, like there's definitely a disconnect. I'll read 3 comic books digitally, and if you quiz me on what happened in those 3 books an hour later, I'll have a hard time recalling it. I read those 3 same books physically, and I have a much better understanding of them. So I don't know if that's the LCD thing that they keep talking about, the blue light nonsense, but the difference between like reading on a Kobo or a Kindle versus an LCD screen.
Could it also just be your mindset when you're sitting down to read them? Like,
I don't know. I mean, the other thing is that even though this is a large screen, it is still physically smaller than a comic book.
But like, I love the guided view.
Oh, I hate the guided view.
Because, and now here's what you need to do. Read comics on this tiny cell phone.
No, thank you.
And then get a tablet. And then your eyes will orgasm.
Yeah, like,
because that's what happened to me. I was reading all my comics digitally on my phone, and then I just bought a cheap tablet, and I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Like, that's the other thing for me. You know, I'm getting older. I got reading glasses and stuff like this. Like, even this $600 tablet that I bought, the screen is easily, well, I don't know, how much smaller is that? 80%? Is it 75% the size of a comic book? So the text is ever so slightly smaller. And this was not a cheap tablet. Like, you know, this isn't like a little Fire HD 7 that was $49.99 on Amazon. So I don't know. I mean, maybe if I had an iPad Pro, it would be different. I'd be able to read it better. Or maybe it is this blue light LCD stuff that they're talking about. You know, they're telling you don't look at an LCD screen an hour before bed because it screws you up. And, you know, that's why anybody who's ever tried selling novels on the LCD screens, it's not as popular and it's not as well received as on those black and white e-screens.
Here's why people don't download digital comics, because they have to pay for them.
Oh, right? No, I do.
Like, I understand that you and I do.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if it's on the internet, like I feel like because we were talking about, you had mentioned like Superman isn't even performing well digitally.
Yeah.
Because
compared to the physical copies.
Yeah. But nobody's going to, that's because if you're going for Superman digitally, you're just going to pirate it because you don't believe in paying for digital comics.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I mean,
that's another hour long show.
Yeah. The whole piracy thing. That's another story. And I don't prescribe to piracy too much. This is where this is a very Canadian attitude, because we're not used to service fees and we're not used to, you know, like we go to the doctor and we don't pay for it. You know, we put the garbage out, we don't pay for it. We open up the taps and we don't pay for it. So we have this idea that, you know, it's okay to consume this material and then it gets paid for somewhere along the way through our taxes or something like this. So Canadians have a very laissez-faire attitude when it comes to pirating. I subscribe to Bell Satellite TV, so that's $100 a month. I have a Netflix account. I had a Hulu account. I have an Amazon Prime account. I have a Crave TV account that I'm paying for. So if I miss a TV show because my PVR only records 2, I have no problem downloading that TV show on the internet and watching it, because I feel like I'm already paying for the consumption of these services. It's still not right. It's still against the law. I'm still not supposed to. But why should I be penalized because my PVR only records 2 shows at once? Like, if it recorded 3 shows at once, I wouldn't have to download that one episode that I couldn't watch because there was a conflict.
And, like, the other thing is it doesn't feel like you should, like, this is the pirate's argument. Well, it's digital. There's no paper. There's no physical media. Am I paying the same price?
But I totally prescribe to the fact that it was still the creation of that content that you're paying for.
Yeah, so you're saying that Andrew doesn't deserve his money for lettering it, and Donovan doesn't deserve money for coloring it because it's digital?
They absolutely do.
I know. That's what you're still taking money from people who created these things and have put very, very large amounts of hard work into this.
Like, let's take True Patriot, for example, right?
Yeah.
If True Patriot, as a digital-only comic, does not survive and create enough income to pay the creators, eventually the title will stop being produced and we will stop getting those issues. So it's like, oh, okay, well, if I pirate this, it doesn't hurt anybody because it's digital. Yeah, you're going to hurt yourself because there's not going to be any more issues because there's no financial incentive for the creators to create this stuff. Like, are you going to keep doing issues for True Patriot if you don't get a penny?
I'm a bad example because, yes, I would.
Well,
but
yeah. I mean,
most people.
That's the other argument, right? Digital media, everybody's doing stuff for content.
And, like, I mean, as a starting comic book writer, it's a conversation I have had with other people who are more established where, you know what, I'm willing to work for much cheaper or free because I'm trying to build myself up and build up a career.
Yeah, right?
Like, I'm not going to walk into DC and be like, all right, put me on Superman.
And the established guys say that, you know, if everybody banded together and not necessarily price fixed, but if everybody banded together and refused to do things for exposure, then, you know, you'd get paid a decent fair wage for doing those comics.
Bottom line is you should download True Patriot for free, or not for free, but it's only $1.99.
Yeah, it's $1.99.
From Comixology.
How can you say no?
Smash that subscribe button, as the kids say nowadays on the YouTube.
Exactly.
And, you know, don't miss an issue, especially not the next one. Issue 9 is when my story starts.
Excuse me.
And now that Marty has yawned, I mean, that's the perfect segue into wrapping the show up at, I don't even know what time it is. My eyes are shot.
8:56:48.
All right.
So we got like about 3 minutes to sign off and do our thing.
Yeah. So I can't believe, though, honestly, that I read digital comics, period. But I only pay for a few things full price, but then when Comixology has a sale, I will buy tons.
Well, the same thing happens with me on my Kobo and my Kindle. Like, I've got 120-some-odd novels, and I don't think I paid full price for any of them.
Yeah.
You know? So, I got a ton of Comixology comics, too, that I've purchased over the years, or digital codes that I've received or stuff like this. Like, nothing in my Comixology thing is pirated, but, you know, I also get a lot of review comics, so there's a lot of PDFs on here that I didn't pay a penny for, but, you know, that's a bit different.
And, yeah, like, because that's just, like, a freebie for doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like you stole those. You were given those to review.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. Like, I do reviews for First Comics News also for exposure. Like, I don't get paid a penny. Now, I get some perks. Like, I get some preview issues here and there. I get into a convention or two a year for free. I definitely don't get into all of them, you know. So, I mean, there's some perks to it, but it is what it is.
So, yeah, I guess that took us close enough to the end of the show.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
We won't see, I can tell.
All right.
But, so yeah, you can always download the old shows on heykidscomics.ca, Google Play, iTunes, and what's the other one, Marty?
Sketcher.
Stitcher. We don't even know
Sketcher is
one.
Running shoes, aren't they? Yeah, Stitcher.
Stitcher. So if you liked what you hear, you can tune in for some more, and we'll be back next week, as always.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?